And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. What are these? December 27th, during the 61st day of the year. Four more days until this year is in the rearview mirror. A lot of folks going to be happy about that. Of course, King Fossey. May not be. He's hoping for the apocalypse, I think. Well, interestingly enough, we have a lot of immigrants coming into South Florida, claiming to be poor and running from oppression, carrying expensive designer bags. The real things, not the knockoffs. So there may be more to the story than our liberal media wants to see. Anything that disturbs their image of America is evil is something they don't want to talk about. All righty. In 537, the construction of the Hagia Sophia in Constantinople is completed. 1512, the Spanish crown issues the laws of Burgos, which governs the conduct of settlers with regard to Native Americans in the New World. It was the first set of laws governing the behavior of Spaniards in the Americas. It forbid the maltreatment of indigenous people and endorsed their conversion to Catholicism. These laws were created following the conquest and Spanish colonization of the Americas and the West Indies. The common law of Castile really wasn't applicable. So they needed a new set of laws. Now, the scope of these laws originally restricted to the island of Hispaniola, later extended to the islands of Puerto Rico and Santiago, which was later renamed Jamaica. These laws authorized and legalized the colonial practice of creating encomiendas, where Indians were grouped together to work under a colonial head of the estate for salary, and limited the size of these groups of people to 40 to 150. They also established a minutely regulated regime of work, pay, provisioning, living quarters, and diet. In fact, it was determined women more than 4 months pregnant didn't have to do any more heavy work. So there was both good and bad to these the laws of Burgos. 1521, the Zwickau prophets arrived in Wittenberg. They preached the apocalypse. There were three men of the Radical Reformation from Zwickau in the Electorate of Saxony in the Holy Roman Empire. And they were involved in a disturbance nearby Wittenberg and its evolving Reformation in 1522. These three men, Nicholas Storch, Thomas Dressel, and Marcus Stubner, began their movement in Zwickau. Though these three names are the primary names in the among the prophets, others have been suggested. This was a precursory foundation of Anabaptism before the rise of the Swiss Brethren in 1525. But they knew the world was coming to an end, and it was time to get ready. 1655, the Second Northern War, or the Deluge. Monks at the Jasna Gora Monastery in Czechowa successful in fending off a month-long siege. This was a war fought between Sweden and its adversaries, the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, the Tsardom of Russia, Brandenburg, the Habsburg monarchy in Denmark and Norway. The Dutch Republic waged an informal trade war against Sweden and seized the colony of New Sweden in 1655, but wasn't a recognized part of the Polish-Danish alliance. All kinds of little wars went on. 1657, the Flushing Remonstrance articulates for the first time in North American history that freedom of religion is a fundamental right. 1703, Portugal and England signed the Methuen Treaty, which gives preference to Portuguese imported wines into England. Had to have a treaty about that. 1814, part of the War of 1812, the American schooner USS Carolina is destroyed. Last of Commodore Daniel Patterson's makeshift fleet had fought a series of delaying actions and contributed to Andrew Jackson's victory at the Battle of New Orleans. 1831, Charles Darwin embarks on his journey aboard the HMS Beagle, during which he'll begin to formulate his theory of evolution. I might point out, the theory has never been proven. For it to be proven, there has to be a missing link. 1836, the worst ever avalanche in England occurs in Lewes, Sussex, kills 8 people. 1845, ether anesthetic is used for childbirth for the first time by Dr. Crawford Long in Jefferson, Georgia. 1845, journalist John L. O'Sullivan, writing in his newspaper, the New York Morning News, argues the USA has the right to claim the entire Oregon country by the right of manifest destiny. 1911, Jana Gana Mana, the national anthem of India, is first sung in the Calcutta session by the Indian National Congress. 1918, the Great Poland Uprising against the Germans begins on this date. 1918, Ukrainian War of Independence. Revolutionary Insurgent Army of Ukraine occupies Yekaterinoslav and seizes 7 airplanes from the UPRAF, establishing an insurgent air fleet. 1922, Japanese aircraft carrier Hosho becomes the first purpose-built aircraft carrier to be commissioned in the world. 1927, Kern and Hammerstein's musical play Showboat, considered to be the first true American musical play, opens at the Ziegfeld Theater in Broadway. 1929, the Soviet General Secretary Joseph Stalin orders the liquidation of the kulaks as a class. 1929, the Soviet campaign of political repression, which included arrests, deportations, and executions of millions of kulaks. Now, that was a name given to the prosperous peasants and their families during the first 5-year plan in Russia. To facilitate the expropriation of farmland, the Soviet government portrayed kulaks as class enemies of the Soviet Union. The more than 1.8 million peasants were deported in 1930. The campaign had the stated purpose of fighting counter-revolution, of building socialism in the countryside. And it brought agriculture and all the laborers in the Soviet Russia under state control. Between 390,000 to 600,000 died of hunger, disease, and mass executions from 1929 and 1933. This was a secret within the Soviet Union for a long time, but eventually the word got out. 1932, Radio City Music Hall, the showplace of the nation, opens in New York City. 1935, Regina Jonas is ordained as the first female rabbi in the history of Judaism. 1939, the 7.8 Erzincan earthquake shakes eastern Turkey with a maximum Mercalli intensity of 11, which is considered extreme. Over 32,000 people were known to have been killed. 1939, Winter War. Finland holds off a Soviet attack in the Battle of Kalja. 1945, the International Monetary Fund is created with the signing of an agreement by 29 nations. 1949, Indonesian National Revolution. The Netherlands officially recognizes Indonesian independence. It's the end of the Dutch East Indies. 1966, the Cave of the Swallows, the largest known cave shaft in the world, is discovered in Aquismon, San Luis Potosi, Mexico. 1968, the Apollo program. Apollo 8 splashes down in the Pacific Ocean, ends the first orbital manned mission to the moon. 1978, Spain becomes a democracy after 40 years of fascist dictatorship. 1983, Pope John Paul II visits Mehmet Ali Aga in Rabiba's prison and personally forgives him for the 1981 attack on him in St. Peter's Square. 1985, Palestinian guerrillas kill 18 people inside the airports of Rome, Italy, and Vienna, Austria. 1989, the Romanian Revolution concludes as a last minor street confrontations and stray shootings in the country's capital of Bucharest. 1991, a Scandinavian Airlines system flight, Cessna 51, crashes in Gotlara in the Nordelige municipality in Sweden. 25 people are injured. There's no record of anybody dying, but 1996, Taliban forces retake the strategic Bagram airfield, which solidifies their buffer zone around Kabul, Afghanistan. 1997, Protestant paramilitary leader Billy Wright's assassinated in Northern Ireland in the UK. 2002, two truck bombs kill 72 and wound 200 at the pro-Moscow headquarters of the Chechen government in Grozny, Chechnya, in Russia. 2004, radiation from an explosion on the Bagdatar SGR-1806 reaches Earth. It's the brightest extrasolar event known to have been witnessed on the planet. 2007, former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto was assassinated in a shooting incident. 2007, riots erupt in Mombasa, Kenya, after Mwai Kibaki is declared the winner of the presidential election. It triggers a political, economic, and humanitarian crisis. 2008, Operation Cast Lead. Israel launches a three-week operation in Gaza. 2009, Iranian election protest. On the day of Ashura in Tehran, Iran, government security forces fire on demonstrators. In 2019, Beck Air Flight 2100 crashes during takeoff from Almaty International Airport in Almaty, Kazakhstan. 13 people are killed. A lot of births and deaths on this date in history. Holidays and observances. Christian Feast Day, Blessed Francisco Spoto, Blessed Sarah Salkahazi, Fabiola, John the Apostle, Pope Maximus of Alexandria, Nicoretta, Theodorus, and Theophanes. Constitution Day in North Korea, go figure. Emergency Rescuers Day in Russia, St. Stephen's Day in the Eastern Orthodox Church. It's a public holiday in Romania, and it's the third of the 12 days of Christmas in Western Christianity. All righty, let's see what else we got on this particular date in history. In 418, Attalius begins his reign as Catholic Pope. The Hagia Sophia in Istanbul, Turkey, was actually inaugurated by the Emperor Justinian I as an Eastern Orthodox cathedral. 795, Leo III begins his reign as Pope after his election on December 26th. 1437, Albrecht II von Habsburg becomes King of Bohemia. 1657, the Flushing Remonstrance, the petition was signed in the Dutch colony New Netherland, protest the ban on Quaker worship. 1679, Dutch troops capture Madurai's prince, Trun Jojo, in Java. 1741, Prussian forces took Olmutz in Czechoslovakia. 1850, the Hawaiian Fire Department was established. 1862, the Battle of Chickasaw Bluffs took place. 1862, the Battle of Elizabethtown, Kentucky. 1867, the Ontario and Quebec legislatures hold their first meetings. 1884, Netherlands recognizes King Leopold II's Congo Free State. 1892, in New York City, the foundation stone of the Cathedral of St. John is laid. 1900, Cary Nation's first public smashing of a bar took place at the Cary Hotel in Wichita, Kansas. She was absolutely, totally opposed to alcohol. 1904, the stage play Peter Pan by J.M. Barrie premieres at the Duke of York Theatre in London. 1924, Albania is declared a dictatorship under Ahmed Beg Zofu. 1924, the U.S. signed a treaty with the Dominican Republic, which superseded the treaty signed in 1907. In July of 1924, the U.S. had withdrawn its Marines and ended its occupation of the Dominican Republic. 1926, Depot Square in the Bronx is renamed Botanical Square. The 1926 Latkin Square in the Bronx is named for the first Jewish soldier to die in World War I. 1932, Emperor Hirohito of Japan narrowly evades being assassinated by a Korean independence activist by the name of Lee Bong Chang. 1934, the Shah of Persia, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, declares Persia is now Iran. He was also the last Shah of Iran. 1937, German immigration officials, with no explanation whatsoever, bar Juan Carlos Zabala of Argentina, the 1932 Olympic marathon champion, from coming into Germany. 1937, Mae West performed the Adam and Eve skit that got her banned from NBC Radio for life. 1939, the first American ski mobiles go into operation in North Conway, New Hampshire. 1941, Japan bombs Manila, even though it was declared an open city by both sides. 1942, the first Japanese woman's camp, known as Ambarara, goes into use. 1942, the Union of Pioneers of Yugoslavia is founded. 1943, the German warship Scharnhorst sinks in the Barents Sea. 1947, the first Howdy Doody show is telecast on NBC. 1949, Queen Juliana of the Netherlands grants independence to Indonesia. 1961, Belgium and the Congo resume diplomatic relations. 1964, the Supremes, led by Diana Ross, first appears on the Ed Sullivan Show. 1968, China performs a nuclear test at Lop Nor in the People's Republic of China. 1972, Belgium recognizes the German Democratic Republic. 1974, The Dear Abby Show ends its run on CBS Radio after 11 years. 1978, when Spain became a democracy after 40 years of fascist government, King Juan Carlos ratified Spain's first democratic constitution, and he is a cousin of mine. 1979, the soap opera Knots Landing premieres on CBS. 1979, after invading Afghanistan on Christmas Day, Soviet forces pull off a coup in Kabul. They kill President Hafizullah Amin. 1983, propane gas fire devastates 16 blocks in Buffalo, New York. 1992, American jazz singer and piano player Harry Connick Jr. is caught with a 9mm handgun at New York's JFK Airport. 1992, American jazz singer and piano player Harry Connick Jr. is caught with a 9mm handgun at New York's JFK Airport. Well, I think we've come to the end of our little history segment for today. I've had criticism about doing this segment, and I've had a lot of people who say they love it. So, that being the case, we're going to continue to do it. We've been talking about haunted prisons and sanitariums and what have you. We're going to talk about the Missouri State Penitentiary in Jefferson, Missouri. It's known as the Walls. It opened up in March of 1836 and closed in 2004. Oldest operating prison west of the Mississippi. It was founded 100 years before Alcatraz. Now, Alcatraz Island originally was a Native American encampment, and then it was a Civil War fort designed to protect San Francisco. Now, some of the punishments utilized at the Walls included whippings with a cat of nine tail, something known as the water cure, which was a dunking apparatus, the rings, where a prisoner's hands were chained above his head and he was forced to stand for hours, or, depending on who he had pissed off, perhaps days. And then something called the line, where prisoners were forced to stand at attention for 8 hours a day, or until they collapsed. Now, there was a major riot there in 1954 that resulted in four inmates being killed. There are 3,000 documented deaths with countless unknown grave sites found throughout the property. You know, with 168-plus years of history and all the death, it's easy to see why this prison may actually have its share of hauntings. Now, there were a number of old escape attempts and notorious prisoners such as Pretty Boy Floyd and Kate Richard O'Hara and Emma Goldman. And there's stories of buildings that were no longer there and what people tried to do to survive their time in a dungeon. They give tours of the gas chamber, which I think is fascinating. The catwalks above the cell blocks are still accessible in some of the units. Now, the cells there were larger than anywhere else that is known. Although sometimes they held up to 8 people at one time. And the cells were built to face each other. That was done in the early days of prison design, don't you know? By the time Mansfield and West Virginia Penitentiary were built, prison systems discontinued building cells that faced each other for security reasons. Now, in the administration building, there was the female housing unit, which is above the administration building. And when the tour was given, those taking the tour said it was kind of strange to walk upstairs in that particular building and find a full cell block. Shortly before the prison closed, men were in this ward, and there's a notorious story of a man who was housed in cell 85. The guards thought he was nutso, but the prisoner maintained that a female spirit was tormenting him at night, trying to get into a cell. He would sleep sitting up in his bed, curled into a ball. Interesting thing, at the time he was put in the cell, nobody knew that had been a women's cell block. So it could be that this is a ghost left over from when women were housed there. The basement beneath the administration building is a tiny little area. And there's a tunnel that runs off into the distance that's fenced off. Now, as they did the tour of the administration building, they got some random K2 meter hits. But a K2 meter can be affected by the electrical wiring in the wall. Then there's housing unit 3, which is known as death row. It's actually underneath housing unit 3. And those who've been there say the place is very eerie. There's a, when you walk into the death row, there's a guard control box. And the red lights on that box still glow, even today. Now, you have to wonder why there's still power going into that area. Now, as they toured the death row section, K2 meter lit up into the orange section, which meant there was either some wiring in the walls had gone nuts or there was some kind of energy. And a shadow figure was seen. Now, you have to wonder, shadow figures are actually, they may or may not be ghosts. No one is really sure. But this particular figure looked just like a person, except it was a black mass. Just the shape of a man. The shadow figures can take up space. As if they are real entities. And then there was housing unit 4. The Now, in the basement, there's a dungeon. According to the story, men who are locked in that dungeon sometimes were driven insane. Or if they weren't driven insane, they came out of the dungeon blind. One former prisoner had a button he would throw on the ground and spend all day looking at it so he'd have something to focus on to keep him from going crazy. Then there's the gas chamber, which was a standalone building where a lot of folks met their death. Just another, this particular building, when investigated, was just another sterile, empty building. Could have been anything, anywhere. Which meant, apparently, no entities hung around there. Now, when you're talking about, and I've done many, many ghost tours. From 1999 until 2017, I did ghost tours in El Paso. And interestingly enough, we actually encountered entities. You have to keep in mind that this is a very, very old town, and quite a number of the buildings downtown date back to the 1800s. Now, one of the things we're going to talk about today is shadow people. Now, I came across a story of a young man who was about 8 or 9 who would see a shadow person at night in his room. Now, if you've ever grown up in an old house, and the house I grew up in, the original portion was built in 1815. At night, the house can become deadly still, and it's dark. Now, this particular young man's in the corner of his room between his closet door and the window. He saw a shadow figure, as tall as a man with vague features of a face. He couldn't even tell if it was wearing clothes. He just saw the figure. And for a long time, they just stared at each other. And then the shadow figure approached his bed and hovered over him. And then it reached out for him. Now, there are times when you're so scared, you can't make a sound. And he felt the shadow hands take hold of him. He's frightened out of his mind, he said. The shadow figure grabbed his arms, pulled him across his body, yanking his wrist up to his neck. And he felt almost like he was choking, he said. And then it let go of him and rose from his bed, and it turned and went out of the bedroom door, which was directly to his right. He watched it as it ran down the hall to the linen closet, opened the door, and darted inside. Well, he finally got out of bed and went over to his parents' bedroom, woke him up and told him what happened. And like all good parents, they were comforting and assured him it was just a bad dream. Now, the humanoid type of shadow person is probably the most common type of shadow person reported. And these type of entities are simply described as appearing in the shape of a person, generally a tall man. You can't see the features. Everything about these entities is black. No eyes, no nose, no mouth, not even any clothing. Typically, the humanoid figure just stands and stares at you, usually from the corner of the room or from the end of one's bed. So, for it to indulge in physical interaction with a human is somewhat out of character. In fact, they typically don't seem to have an actual physical form. A lot of folks report simply turning on a light or a bedside lamp and a shadow person vanishes.
There's been stories, of course, of folks who've encountered these entities and actually pulled guns and shot them. Thought it was an intruder. Said he warned the person he saw standing in the corner. He had a gun, and when it didn't move, he grabbed a gun and fired. When he turned on the light, nothing stood in the corner. Nothing was lying on the floor. But there were bullet holes in the wall where from the shots he had fired. So that made him wonder, did he really see something at all, or was it just imagination? And if a shadow person had been solid enough to grab this young man's arms, why wasn't it solid enough to be shot? At 8 or 9, of course, you're too young to really know what a shadow person is. When the person that told that story saw that tall, dark figure standing in the corner, he thought it was an intruder. Well, you have to wonder what activates a shadow person. Are they all around us? Do they just suddenly appear at certain points? There's a story from Campsville Grade School in Campsville, Illinois. That's a small one-story building nestled in the foot of a limestone bluff next to the Illinois River. Built in 1938 during the Depression. It was placed in what had been an archaeological... The archaeological site where the building was built dated from the days of Native American occupation. And to this day, you still see the traces in the landscape where the archaeological dig had been. So, as I've said many times, hauntings and things such as shadow people may not originate from the structure where they're seen, but actually from the land. Now, there's been a lot of paranormal activity reported about this old school building, including phantom footsteps on the second floor when there's no second floor, the apparition of a woman at the bottom of the basement stairs, voices who call out your name. But one of the greatest moments was the shadow person that was caught on camera in the gymnasium. Now, one of the most haunted areas of that school is near the doorway that leads from the gym to the boys' locker room and stairs that lead down to the basement. In this area, and witnesses have heard a number of disembodied footsteps and voices, and there's a general feeling of unease in this area. And a couple of investigators reported that it felt like somebody was toying with them. They constantly heard noises coming from the area of the doorway, only for them to stop as investigators got near and picked back up across the gym near the bleachers. This went back and forth for a little while, like a game of cat and mouse. Eventually, the investigators gave up and continued investigation elsewhere in the building, but when they looked at their video footage, they actually had caught something. In a video clip that panned the gym from where they sat in the bleachers, a short shadow figure could be seen pacing near the doorway to the boys' locker room. Now, due to the darkness of the room, of course, the witnesses didn't notice that shadow figure with their eyes, but it was clearly visible on the video. Now, granted, the video footage is also dark since they weren't using an additional light source, but it's plainly there to see. Photo included... can actually be seen on YouTube. So for it to show up like that, there was clearly something there. Now you might say, that is generally the case with these particular videos, that they're somewhat grainy, but mostly of these shots are gotten in a low light environment using a standard off-the-shelf video recorder. But the shadow person is plainly visible, especially in the actual video footage. It lasts several seconds. Now, since it was a short figure, it may have been a entity who had actually been there as a student. Now, it could well have been a human spirit appearing in shadowy form and not what you might refer to as a real shadow person. It was about the height of a 10 or 11-year-old child, so maybe it was a manifestation of a child's spirit. Now, you also have to ask yourself, are shadow people always visible? Are they able to be active at a location without actually being visible and then later manifest in a shadowy form? One individual who grew up in a haunted apartment said he experienced plenty of paranormal activity and he moved back there for a time in his young adulthood. During this return, after all the other paranormal activity he'd already experienced, he witnessed a tall shadow person. Generally, a real shadow person is tall, but quite often there have been reports of short ones. He said he'd moved his TV and couch into his bedroom from the storage unit, so they were going to watch a couple of movies instead of fishing that night. Of the two people there, one said after he had fallen asleep watching one of the movies, he had to use the bathroom. The bathroom in his bedroom was out of service, so his friend went to use the bathroom in the hallway that was across from the old bedroom. When he went to open the door to the bathroom, he noticed the light was on and the door was locked. Thinking somebody was using the facility, he sat on the couch where he could see when they were done and left the bathroom. He said he sat there for half an hour. Nobody came out, but the light stayed on. A while later, he noticed the light was off, and he thought he died because nobody came out. He got up and tried the door, and it was unlocked. So, do shadow people want privacy? You know, it's hard to know whether a shadow person is also responsible for the bathroom incident. But it's certainly possible, and it's difficult to know whether this entity was the cause of all the paranormal activity that the individual telling the story encountered as a child. Now, there's also a hat-wearing shadow person. That's probably the most feared type of shadow person of all the different types. Of course, in terms of pure horror, the one known as the crawler is probably the scariest, but since that particular phenomenon isn't reported as often as the hat man, as he's been called for a number of decades, in general, the hat man has the title of being the scariest. The hat man is essentially a type of humanoid figure, shadow person who also wears a hat. Usually a hat that's known as a fedora, sometimes a top hat, or even a wide-brimmed hat. There's one account in which a hat-wearing shadow is seen wearing the archer-type hat like you saw in the Robin Hood movies. Many times a hat man's entire appearance will seemingly take on a particular type of style. Sometimes the person wearing the fedora will often have on a trench coat. And those seen wearing a top hat may also be seen wearing a cape. Of course, with a shadow person, details of the clothing are usually sketchy since everything about the entity is black. But the general outline of the being that usually gives a sense of what these entities might be wearing. Sometimes the clothing in its shadow form may also be seen moving. The different styles, though, don't seem to correlate with any one particular goal. In other words, simply because the shadow person is wearing a fedora, it doesn't necessarily mean it's there to terrorize you. Sometimes, just because it's wearing a top hat doesn't necessarily mean it's only there to be an observer. It may have some other agenda in mind. You don't really know until the situation takes place. There was a young lady who had an encounter with a figure with a top hat. And she said her experience took place in the early 90s in a small rural town in Iowa. She had just divorced from her husband, who had been abusive and to her and the pets as well. She went out earlier that day and bought a new alarm clock so she wouldn't oversleep and get in trouble at work. She put the new alarm clock across the room on her dresser far enough away so she'd have to get up to cut it off.
Next morning, when the alarm went off, she felt as if somebody was watching her, and when she opened her eyes, she saw a dark shadow looking at her very closely, looking directly into her face. She screamed, and the shadow turned and ran for the closed window with his cape swooshing from his back. Shadow didn't have any facial features, but it did appear to have a top hat and a cape on. She found out a number of years later that the house had been One-Eyed Jack's mortuary in the 1900s. Maybe it was One-Eyed Jack wanting to make sure she didn't oversleep. Now, while Shadow wearing a hat takes on a number of different guises, it's not the hat that actually seems to scare people. The Hat Man type entity seems to have some sort of aura about it that he uses to terrorize his victims. He may stand in a doorway and just stare at you, which generally seems to paralyze folks with fear. Some believe Hat Man feed off negative energy like an emotional vampire. Now, an emotional vampire is a term generally used for toxic people who drain us of our energy like a parasite and leave us feeling emotionally exhausted. I run into a number of those in my time. This type of person can cause you to feel depressed, anxious, frightened, or in pain, dramatically affecting the person's mental and ultimately physical well-being. While encountering an emotional vampire, one's entire body can react, including increased heart rate, sweaty palms, an ache to the gut, and a feeling that something is drastically wrong. These same traits have been typically ascribed to the hat-wearing shadows. The way the man with the hat seems to instill his fears through some sort of thought transference, it doesn't speak, it just stands and stares. I had a friend who, at the time I first met him, had a wife and a daughter. And as a child at his parents' home, there was an outbuilding, and he used to go play around the outbuilding. And that's where he encountered the Fedora Man, as he called him. And he interacted with this entity for quite some time. And then as his he married and had a daughter, and when the daughter would stay with the grandparents, she started talking about the Fedora Man. So clearly, this family was selected for some type of visitation. Then there was an individual who told a story about his encounters with a hat man. He said he'd always had a propensity for getting involved in weird things, and a hat man is no different. It communicated with touch, something like telepathy. It wanted to feel being in a body. It wanted to be specific with its infinity. Now, he, of course, associated the experience more with aliens than he did with something physical that lives in this dimension, I guess you could say. He didn't think it wanted his body. It wanted to explain its intrusion, he felt. It started out with fear. And the experiencer wanted to beat the fear, but he figured it was either testing him or needing to eat something. So once he stopped being afraid, he asked it what it was doing. It was hacking into the simulation, wanted to play the game it had created by its very presence. The theory seemed to be we are living in a simulation and they hack into it kind of like we do with video games. Now, it would appear that this hat man tried to instill fear through the use of telepathy and touch. The entity actually touched the individual, and that's why it was so interesting to talk about his feelings at the time. Another account he might shed some light on how hat man instilled fear comes from a young lady who was involved in an investigation at the Washoe Club in Virginia City, Nevada. That's a historic saloon with a reputation for being extremely haunted. And she's has the is known as the Ghost Magnet, well-known paranormal investigator. During her investigation of January 30, 2018, she described her Hatman experience at the Washall Club. Said she's one of the lucky few who's captured this man on photo. He's about 6'5", very tall. She didn't know why it was like that, but it's like they're always wearing a duster and a cowboy hat. There's also a little boy spirit at the Washall Club and a few women spirits, but he won't let anybody speak unless he allows it. He's in charge. Now, the investigator was in the ballroom, and another investigator came up and said, come with me. And she said, where we're going? And she said, I want you to come to this room and tell me what you feel. Well, she looked in, didn't see anything, turned around, and the other investigator was gone. And she called out to her, but then she turned around, looked back into the room, and the entity was pitch black. It was a huge, dark shadow man. And it had engulfed her. She didn't even move forward. It moved back, which made it look like she was coming forward. Now, both investigators went back into the hallway, and folks helped them calm down from the experience. The other investigator didn't remember anything, but the one telling the story saw the entire encounter. The interesting thing, she walked over by the stairwell where the shadow figure had been and put her hand on the end of the stairwell and turned around and looked down the hall, and she could see it standing by the wall. And she actually, it made an effort to communicate with her. So shadow entities have intelligence, I guess you could say. She didn't think it was human. She thought it was a manifestation of energy, but I think there's more humanity to it than we want to believe. Her observation of the pulsing energy was also an intriguing element. There are those that believe this pulse energy is the way the Hat Man instills fear in people, sending out waves of negativity and toxicity in order to feed on the vigor returned. This may be how an emotional vampire would actually consume its victims. There's a Hat Man who's been frequently encountered in Salem, Massachusetts. And this is a particularly intriguing story because the individual involved believes he has significantly connected with the hat-wearing being to the point that this entity will actually interfere with his presentations and interviews when he's telling the story. Now, the individual telling the story was working for the hotel. It's a nice boutique hotel in the middle of Salem, Massachusetts. Now, he's written a couple of books about Salem, like I've written about El Paso, so he knows a lot about the history. And the first few nights he worked there, he thought it was a weird energy to the building, so his first experience with what seemed to be a sort of an apparition was this black smoke that was forming in the lobby area near the elevator. He was sitting at his desk, and he looked up. So it looked like a black smoke moved down by the elevator. He thought it was coming from the outside. Checked his glasses to make sure he saw what he saw, and he definitely was dealing with black smoke. Next night, he looked over and saw that same black mass. This was about 2 or 3 in the morning during the night shift. It's interesting because this time it looked like it was going to the elevator, and the elevator opens, and the black mass goes into the elevator and goes down to the basement where it was taking an elevator ride. Now, the elevator, as is the case in many old buildings, seems to have a mind of its own. It would open mysteriously even though nobody was pushing the buttons. And what was even more fascinating about the elevator, you have to have a special code to go to the basement. And then he heard what sounded like banging on the elevator. Maybe it was somebody got stuck there, he thought. I wanted to go to the basement to see it, or maybe it was a construction worker, but at 3 o'clock in the morning, it was kind of odd. So he got into the elevator, went down to the basement to check out what it was, and the area was creepy. It was covered with tarps and sawdust and all kinds of things, and he looked down and saw there were footprints on the ground as well. So he went to the area, to the back of the hotel's basement area, and that's where the tunnels would have been connected, that connected the seaport area to the basement. It was all covered in brick. He reported he heard a moaning sound, like somebody on the other side of that brick plug. Then he heard what sounded like someone banging metal, like taking a hammer and hitting metal really hard, and thought somebody was breaking in. So he went upstairs and looked outside to check the stores that are right next to the hotel. There's a bookshop and a gift shop. That's when he saw what he said had haunted him for years. He looked into the window of the store and he saw what looked like a man in the window wearing a hat. Now, the difference between what other shadow people have manifested and what he saw is the shadow person he was looking at had red glowing eyes. Now, there's been a number of stories I've heard about entities with red glowing eyes. Now, there's a lot of paranormal expositions where people come and tell their stories. At one particular exposition, a family reported their daughter was being frequented by a hat-wearing shadow simply standing near one of the girls' beds at night. It seemed attracted to the oldest of the three girls. She was the one who experienced the most activity. And it would stand next to her bed and stare down at her. She saw it with her own eyes while their sister from her own bed across the room watched it. Now, for those that say shadow people are just hallucinations, for two people who have the same hallucination seemed a little odd. Now, we're going to talk more about shadow people in our next show, but for right now, we're out of time. So for tomorrow at this same time, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show saying have a truly great evening.